Chagger, I'm sure you've seen the news about, Aguila Arena, as the G is silent, that they're looking at not bringing back the Arizona Coyotes after this next season. Now, you know, the Coyotes of Style said they're committed to staying there, yada, 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 as George used to say on Seinfeld all the time. So where do you come out on this whole situation and what the future may hold for the Coyotes?
Oh, the saga and the battle continues, to keep hockey there. It just continues.
Oh, it never ends, And let's just look at what this next year's team might look like. Are they going to in any way draw fans to the stadium?
Yeah, it's interesting. And I was watching on Twitter, a few people suggest that there's lots of hockey fans out there. It's just the logistics of that situation out there are not ideal, like the location of the arena, and that's not necessarily where the hockey fans are, and that it's just not practical to get, the core base of the hockey fans to travel to those games, and it's not convenient. You would understand the logistics of that situation a lot better than I would, and, I know your buddies with Shane Doan, who's, made a living and a career out there. I don't know if it feels like it's logistically, if it's a fit and a reasonable ask of the core fan base, to be making that trip and to be doing that. But to your point about the team, they've had good players there over the years, and they haven't really had absolute superstars. They haven't really had that guy, that megastar to just rally the franchise around. But I think the thing to keep in mind about this, and when you ask yourself, well, it's just been such a battle for so many years, and why, is just why haven't they been able to let this go? I mean, the simple fact is that is a monstrous market in the U.S. And I think Gary Bettman has just always been committed to trying to be in that market because it is a huge market down there. That's not a small area. You combine those areas, and that's a big, big, population base, and the NHL just has really felt like it needs to be there, and they've fought to be there, and it's been an ongoing battle for years and years.
Yeah, it really does blow me away. And, at least when the rink was downtown, I felt that there was a little bit of action, a little bit of buzz. And maybe, part of me is my thought process. I remember we used to have to stay in Scottsdale or something, then we'd have to drive the 30 minutes to the rink. And I'm like, why is the rink out here? Like, we're driving, when it first opened, there was nothing. There was a football stadium, NHL arena, and then, there was a place you could, a Foot Locker, so there wasn't much going on. Then it's added. So I'm not sure, Shug. I've been saying it for years. I just don't think it can last there. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. I didn't think Vegas would work. I obviously nailed that one. So maybe I'm 50%. It's just a hard one to understand. You're right. Why grind it? Why, Houston's right there. I don't know if Portland can fit a team. Like, there must be somewhere. Because the next 2 or 3 years, the Arizona Coyotes are not going to be good. They're not getting any new hockey fans in that little market.
Yeah. Well, they are. I just Googled it quick. They are fifth biggest city in the States, fifth mm-hmm. biggest market. New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Houston, Phoenix.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
I mean, they want to be there. Like, they want to be there. All the big leagues are, all of the leagues that matter are, and giving up on that just isn't something that they've wanted to do. So, I guess we'll see what happens. I mean, it sounds like they're going to try. But, boy, it's been, I've covered lots of Board of Governor meetings and years, year after year about, it hasn't been for a while, but I remember for so many years it was all about, so much about the future of that franchise and was it going to make it and how are they going to make it work. I've been there. I've covered a playoff series there. It's fantastic. Scottsdale, you kidding me? That is off the charts, that place. Fantastic. And I just think the NHL probably has trouble wrapping its head around the idea that they wouldn't be in a market of that magnitude.
Ryan Rochaud joins us, taking a look at the world of NHL. A report out of Boston suggesting that the Edmonton Oilers are still looking at Jake DeBrusk. They may be looking for a center. I don't know if there's any centers available. Maybe you could pry Kyle Turris out of Edmonton for Jake DeBrusk. But after Warren Fogle's acquisition, is there still room for a Jake DeBrusk on this team?
Is there still room? I don't know where the money comes from. Like, how are they making that money work? Well, sorry, I missed the report out of Boston. Who said what about that? I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No,
but
Fluto Shinigawa. Is that what it is, Connor?
Shinzawa, I think.
Yeah. And he just put in a mailbag saying, oh, he's heard that both Oilers and maybe Calgary are interested in Jake DeBrusk at this point. And it's pretty late. I feel like the Oilers have made their bets. You know, they got their Jake DeBrusk and Zach Hyman. And I think Warren Fogle's a step underneath those guys. But, you know, they've kind of have those guys. So, whether I want him or not is irrelevant if there's no room on the team.
Yeah, the other thing, too, with Jake DeBrusk, you know, I think you'd have to ask yourselves, if you're the Oilers, is that player at the right point in his career to bring him here, put him in this spotlight, and have him try and, you know, kind of excel and take that step here in this market, in his own market? You know, Jake DeBrusk is at a point in his career where he needs to go somewhere and he needs to get a foothold. Because I think he's a great kid, awesome young man. We all know and love Louis. You know, it's a great family. So let's say that first and foremost. Let's talk about the young man as an NHL professional trying to make his way, right? Tons of potential. Scored 27 goals, for goodness sakes, 1 year. But has had a tough go in Boston. And my sense is it hasn't necessarily been a lot of seeing eye to eye with the coaching staff out there. And there's been a lot of frustration, and he needs to go somewhere and get a foothold and get back to feeling good and feeling positive and have good things happen, right? Well, where does he fit here? What opportunity is he going to have to earn the money that he's going to require? Like, who's he playing in front of here? Unless the Oilers say, okay, well, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is going to be a center, absolutely going to be the third center on this team, and Jake DeBrusk will, you know, and take one of those spots on the left wing, and then you've got Derek Ryan in there as, I guess, your fourth guy. You went out and got him to be your fourth center. Sure, maybe if you commit to Nugent-Hopkins being that third center, but I don't know that that's what they had in mind for Nugent-Hopkins necessarily. So I just don't know where Jake DeBrusk is going to fit to have the opportunity to produce the number of points that I think he wants to, that the expectation would be, and then the media spotlight in this city for that player, I think, would be really, really bright. And then you've got the added dynamic of, you know, of his dad working in the area and such. And I'm not sure if that would be, I'm not sure if that would be choice number one for him and his camp even. I don't know the answer to that. I'm kind of making a lot of assumptions there, but that's my sense. I'd love, for Jake DeBrusk, I'd love to see him go somewhere and where there's legitimate opportunity sitting there for him, where he can get an offensive foothold, build a good, a good relationship with the staff, and just get on the right side of things and have at her. You know, I think it's been a tough go confidence-wise for him for a couple of years. I'm not sure this market's the answer to that. Am I way off base on that, Strudy?
No, I think you're onto something there. And I do, it's just, I look at what the Oilers are, where they're at right now. I think there was interest, and I think he would have been a fit. But now, you look at the wings, it'll have to be winger out, winger in, and you're not trading a Puljujarvi or a Yamamoto on a cheap deal. You're not trading Hyman. You just signed him. Fogle, you just traded for him. I don't think that there's a spot there. Ryan Rochon joins us.
Just want to be clear, because I think that DeBrusk has tons of potential. We've seen what is possible. You know, if they brought him here, I mean, I think he'd be battling for some of those minutes. I don't know that overall this is the best fit for him. Now, the Oilers might think different, but it would surprise me if they made that addition at this point, given everything they've done. And I can't wrap my head around the cap implications of that either.
Yeah, and I think that's they've made their bets.
Yeah.
You'd have to trade, unless it's a trade, money in, money out trade for a winger. Yeah. I don't see it happening.
I don't think they're looking for a left winger right now at all.
No, I just don't. They've done it. They've got their guys, and I think that's where maybe there wasn't a deal to be made, or they couldn't, they didn't, whatever. Who knows? But hopefully Jake finds a place that'll give him a chance to get going, because he's a great kid. I mean, he's
absolutely
an amazing guy.
Yep.
Talking with Ryan Rochon, TSN Bureau Chief. Big game tonight. BC Lions are hosting the Edmonton Elk. Two, of the guys that love to throw the ball around, Riley and, of course, Trevor Harris, the Elks quarterback. You know, what needs to happen for the Elks to kind of get themselves going, unlock the offensive potential that I think so many people believed was there prior to the start of the season.
Yeah, well, I mean, you look at the numbers, and I mean, just in terms of yardage-wise, what they're producing and what they're what they've been putting out there. Obviously, it was underwhelming in the first game, but just strictly, and obviously, you'd like to score more touchdowns, but it's there. Like, you can, it looks statistically like the ingredients are there. Now it's about putting it together in the context of a football game and winning it. So, you know, punching it into the end zone. Like, you get down into that go zone and being more efficient, being more dead cold executing down there. That's what this offense is designed to do. It's designed to push the ball downfield, and when they get into that zone, there's supposed to be lots of options there. From a guy that's doing a heck of a good job running the ball with confidence to a couple of guys receiving who've got a tremendous amount of experience executing to a quarterback who should be able to find him, and then lots of other guys that would be options too. Like, they should be executing better than they are when they're in that dangerous zone, and they just haven't been. So the statistics, I think a lot of them are there, right? Like, Wilder's, you know, 170-some rushing yards already this year. You know, they've got Walker, you know, picked it up and is catching some passes now. And Ellingson, like, there's no lack of weaponry there. So, buddy, they just need to pound that thing in a few times and get a little offensive mojo going. They need to be able to feel like they can strut around a little bit, and they're high octane, and they've kind of been pretty humbled, I'd say. So when you humble high octane, it's not comfortable for them, I don't think.
No, and that's exactly it. You got to, like, they just need to feel it. You know, and when you're not feeling, you're a little tight, maybe a drop pass or something, like, you just, you're not feeling. So I'm really interested to see what they can do tonight. Now, Shauger, I got a trivia question for you. So maybe call the kids in.
Today, you throw some baseball or something at me?
No, I'm not. This is just a more to see if people know. So, you know, today EA Sports 2022 edition or 2021, whatever it is, this year's edition, they announced that Austin Matthews will be on the cover. EA Hockey. Pretty cool. Obviously pretty awesome. Can you tell me how many times Sidney Crosby has been on the cover of that very game?
Oh, how many times have you been on it?
So this is Austin Matthews' second. How many times has...
I would think back in the day... I would have thought they would have... I'm just trying to think, because I've owned all of them. I'm trying to think if I've ever seen them on there. Like, I can picture a few of them. I'm going to say a couple. I'll go with two.
Two times?
Yeah.
Would it surprise you if I told you the answer is zero?
What?
Since 2004. 2004, this, let me go through the team, the players that have been on the cover.
All right.
Naslin LeCavalier, Ovi, Stahl, Phaneuf, Patrick Kane, Taze, Stamkos, Giroux, Brodeur, Bergeron, Taze, Tarasenko, McDavid, Subban, Matthews, Ovechkin, Matthews. Not one time has Sid the Kid been on that cover of that thing. Not one time. Can you believe that? Someone told me that today. I had to look it up. I'm blown away that he's never been on there.
Okay, do you think that he doesn't want to be?
Well, maybe he doesn't want kids playing video games. I don't know. I mean,
one thing I'll say about Crosby is he is superstitious.
Okay.
So of all those names, I can't remember everybody you said. How many have won cups?
Someone told me this. Not one person who's been on the cover has won a cup.
Well, that might literally be it right there.
Yeah. But it is
and it wouldn't be have any of these people. It would be, has a guy ever been on the cover and won the cup that year?
I think the answer is zero. I think I'm pretty sure it's zero. Now, someone's probably going to double check, but when I looked at it quickly, I didn't see anyone who won it then. I might be wrong, so I have the right for being wrong.
Yeah.
But I just can't believe that Sid has never been on the cover. And you're right. It may be. I'm sure they've asked.
It would be silly for them not to have said, hey, yeah, you know, we want you to be, and he would talk it over with his agent and his, you know, and I don't know if it's I don't know who all of his endorsement deals are with, and he's, you know, he is an industry, or was an industry for a number of years just on his own, right? So there has to be a reason that that happened. Like, EA Sports would know better than to never attempt to have Sidney Crosby on their cover, don't you think?
Well, he does, and he's been the best player of his generation. Well, I guess him and Ovi, we can fight over that, but he's been one of the best players, and it's pretty cool that, you know, I'd want to see it. Now, here, just to be clear, texts are coming in. Yes, these players won the cup, many of them, but not in the year they were on the cover.
There you go.
So let's get that.
I bet that would chase it away. Honestly, I don't know. I feel like he pays attention to things, and he's definitely superstitious, man. I've covered him through Stanley Cup Finals he's won, Stanley Cup Finals he's lost. I've covered him through all sorts of playoff series. I've seen it firsthand. Okay. Where the flow of media availability for like two or three days goes one way, and suddenly it's completely different. And there's this ridiculous throng of media all packed into a spot that you never would have during a Stanley Cup final, but it's, no, they didn't win last game. Sid wanted to change it up, so now Sid's doing this because this is what they won. Back in the third round, when he had a huge game, they did it this way, and so now he's sitting in his stall with 150 media people all crammed in. Like, this is the way the guy thinks. He's wired that way. So my guess is that it probably has something to do with him. How's Oiler Nation feeling about Austin Matthews being on the cover there?
You know, I don't know. I guess, I don't know. McDavid was on it in 2018. I mean, he'll sure get on again. I honestly, I couldn't care less. I don't care. They could have put anybody on there. I don't. It doesn't matter to me. It makes no difference. It's interesting. Oh, you're a graduate. You're on the cover. Like, that's really neat. Actually, I was on the back cover of one time fighting Kristoff Oluwa.
You were in a fight?
I was fighting.
On the back cover?
In a back cover, yeah. Someone pointed out to me. I don't remember what year. You know, obviously, it wasn't flattering. I was getting beat up by him.
That's a big boy. Kudos to you for getting the flippers off against him.
His arms are so... No, this is just in the video game. So, but I did fight him twice in the same game. He had the vein on his arms and his guns that looked like a garden hose. His arms were so big.
Okay, I'm confused. Did you actually fight him twice in a game? Or
I fought him twice
in an EA Sports game?
I fought him twice in the same game. And then on the back of one of the EA Sports covers, I was on...
A
video game picture. It was a video game of me and him fighting.
Okay. Let me ask you this. You fight him once.
Right.
Did you even have to say anything before that fight, or how did that start? You just kind of...
No, so it's a bit of a – so we were winning in Chicago, and they put out their fighters against Boston. It was PJ Stock, Oliwa, and Sean Brown was on line.
Okay.
So I'm a winger. I skate out there to go line up against Sean Brown. I'm like, okay, no problem. Like, we're not going to fight. Chris Simon gives me a tap. He's like, go to the other wing. I'm like, what? So I have to skate over there. He's our fighter. I have to fight Kristoff Oliwa. And with some miracle chance, I beat him. I beat Kristoff Oliwa in the first fight. Not pound him, but I beat him.
Yeah.
So now I got to go. I go in the penalty box, like, we're going again. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, let me just play the game. So then I had to go back and fight him again. And this time I was mad, so I kind of took him down to the ground. I didn't want to fight him. I'm like, I'm not just going to keep fighting. Like, this guy would fight 30 times a year, 40 times a year. And so I beat him, and then we were done. And I remember PJ Stock skated by me. He's like, Struddy, good fight, man. I didn't think you had it in you. I'm like, neither did I.
So why did Chris Simon do that?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
You go stand over there by him?
Well, for a face-off. So we were up, like, let's just say it was like we were up 2-0 or 3-0. So they put their fighters. So Brian Sutter puts our fighters up, and I wheel over beside Sean Brown, and I get the tap to go fight him. I think Chris Simon had a bad shoulder.
He's like, and he couldn't do it.
I'm like, why do I have to do it? Like, what? I'm wheeling around here. I'm trying to play. Like, I'm a left winger, and also I'm a right winger because I got to fight this guy. Not a lot of fun. Not a lot of fun. Yeah, it's on
YouTube.
That's
crazy. I actually, one time, sorry, not to swap stories with you because you've really been there. I had a buddy playing on the other team tell me to fight. So we just got scored on, and it was early on in the season. I was still trying to make the team. We were playing against Prince George. We'd just gotten scored on. And my buddy, who I played minor hockey with, was playing for Prince George. He was on the blue line, and he goes, Reesh! Like, we were down 2-0. They'd gotten a couple in a row real quick, and they threw me on. He goes, Reesh, you got to fight. And I was like, what? He's like, you got to fight. I was like, okay. So ball, puck dropped, and I just, first guy I saw, I just slashed him in the back of the legs and dropped my gloves and got into a fight. I don't know, I let somebody beat me up. And but it was actually my buddy playing on the other team who was a veteran in the league. He was in his third season, recognized I was trying to make the team, what the momentum was, and just hollered at me from his own blue line, "You got to fight."
Yeah.
I wonder if I should say, it won't matter if I say his name, it doesn't matter. Do you remember Brad Swanson?
Oh, yeah, I know him. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Swanee, yeah. Reesh, yeah. You got to fight. So I did.
It's that type of thing. It's like things have changed, though, now. I mean, there's no fighting anymore, but it's definitely changed. All right, Shogger, we got to get out of here. Thanks for this, buddy. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, well, between you and I, buddy, we've had two scraps against NHL heavyweight Christoph Honeywell between the two of us.
Exactly. I love it, buddy. Talk to you later.
See you, pal.